Hello, and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 95. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
I'm Zelda Queen.
And we have our special guest here today.
Hi, Rampage is here again. Back from, what, episode 10 or something like that, I think?
It's been a long time.
Mostly we just strong-armed him with a ride.
Yeah, it's like, well, if you want to ride to the gaming session, you're going to come with me, and I'm showing up early to do the podcast, so guess what you get to join in?
Podcast! Yay! Better than my transmission catching on fire.
Yes!
Are you still working on that?
Still working on that.
So, it's been about 2 weeks since we last recorded. Nobody bothered to send me an email, so nobody got the free copy of Fable 3. I didn't know how hard it was to give you jackasses free shit.
Come on. Freebies. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Anywho, so I'll see if I can maybe give it away to somebody on Facebook then, since nobody wanted to do it via email.
Yeah, just put it up on Facebook. I'm sure somebody there will see it.
There's 230 people. Somebody should see it. That's 200 people I don't know.
That is true.
Anywho, so we all had good holidays. I got lots of games, basically. For my birthday, the wife got me paid for half of my Star Wars: The Old Republic Collector's Edition, which was no small feat.
Nope.
And then she got me Skyrim for the Xbox.
Ooh, Skyrim for Xbox. PC is much better.
But I already had 50-plus hours devoted on the Xbox version from when I rented it.
PC version is much better.
I'm happy with my Xbox version. Plus, I get to play it on my nice 50-inch TV that way instead of my monitor.
You just be like my brother.
I don't have that I don't have that convenient setup. My desk will not hold a 50-inch TV on his desk.
Yeah.
My desk will not hold that, nor do I have the space in my office for that.
See, this is why I own a 20-foot length of HDMI cable.
Yeah, the Steam sale was good to me. I picked up Skyrim, which was the important one.
For $40.
Nice.
Then we had to get it on the Encore, because we were checking it every day for it.
Except Christmas Day. We missed, like, Christmas Day, basically.
Yeah, because it went on sale either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and it was the one day we didn't check. Because we were nowhere near a computer during the times of the sale.
Encore. I missed the Steam sale. I was sad.
I was pretty much broke for the majority of Christmas, so I didn't get much.
Yeah, that was my problem.
I got Bastion. I need to play
it. We got a few things that were real cheap, basically. We got Bastion for when it was $10, and then it later went for $5, and we're like, But, you know, we got Racketeer and Item Shop Tale, which is interesting.
Surprisingly fun.
Yeah, I picked that up a while back. I think it was like a Steam sale, like maybe over the summer.
Yeah.
Really interesting RPG-ish.
Well, it is an RPG.
But it's.
But
oddball.
You're the item shop owner, yeah, and you hire adventurers to go and, you know, fight through dungeons and find stuff for you to sell.
And to whichever lucky bastard won the Steam's contest, congratulations! Have more games than you will ever play in your lifetime.
Yeah, that's
for those of you who don't know what contest this was. They basically were giving away every single game on Steam.
Which seems a little nuts. Just like bonkers kind of nuts.
But hey, that's an awesome contest.
Okay, speaking of contests and weird things like that, I heard there was a couple that named their kid after the main character in Skyrim because...
Yep, they did that.
Was Bethesda?
Bethesda
said that if somebody named their firstborn kid that was born on the date that it came out, that they would give them all of their games for the rest of their life.
Yep, so they named their kid, I think it was Dokovin?
Dovahkiin.
And they get every new... That kid gets basically every single Bethesda game that ever comes out for free.
Yeah.
He's never joining the football team.
Dovo? Dov?
Dova. Was it a girl or a boy?
It was a boy.
I think it was a boy.
It was a boy. But it's just still sad to me. I'm like, really? Because it's the parents that are the gamers, not the child. We don't know what the child's going
to
be yet.
Well, you want to try and make the child a gamer if you're a gamer.
We don't know when Bethesda might go under.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest problem is children have a natural inclination to go, you know, completely different from whatever their parents do. You know, so for all we know, this kid could be uber jock. That just means the parents get the games.
Well, that just means he wished they had named him, you know, John Madden.
No. No.
But anywho, speaking of, you know, places going under, has anybody ever read the Origin FAQ for EA?
No. Oh, no. Oh.
There's one entry in it that it says, what do I do if EA goes under? Do I lose access to my games? The response to that is, EA is a big player, and it's not going anywhere soon.
Well, because here's the thing.
They don't have a plan for it.
Yeah, it's well, Electronic Arts is basically it's either the biggest or the second biggest video game
biggest
studio.
Yeah. And they own what? How many studios now?
I know they own BioWare. That's enough for me to know.
Yeah. So at that point, if they do quote unquote go under, it's not going to be like going under. It's going to be basically it's breaking apart.
Yeah, restructure and bought up in pieces by other people.
Yeah, then Blizzard Activision gets even huger at that point because they're just like, we would also like BioWare.
Anywho, so all of the RPGs. That would be actually pretty entertaining.
Or they'd have to get Bethesda as well.
Yeah.
I think Bethesda's their own publisher too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are because they own id now, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Bethesda's their own publisher.
Go figure. Moving on.
So with the holiday came us actually playing games, watching TV shows, and that sort of thing. Let's go ahead and start with our guest's game. He was playing the Tribes of Sin beta all holiday.
Oh, sweet fancy Moses, is that fun. If you've ever played Tribes or Tribes 2, I'm not counting the Tribes console releases because those were pretty terrible. Tribes 2 was this first-person shooter with, like, way back in the day, almost in, like, you know...
Released, like, 2001.
Yeah, a little bit... 2000, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think we were still in high school, so yeah, around 2000.
That, you know, featured jetpacks, vehicles,
spin fusers.
Frisbees of Doom, yes. And absolutely
the glowing explosive frisbees were great.
Absolutely huge maps that you had to basically, you know, combination of jetpack and vehicles across, as well as something called skiing, which is basically a combination of, you know...
Kind of skipping around with your jetpack,
exactly.
Basically.
It was really before its time. It was pretty critically acclaimed, but it didn't do as well as, like, say, Half-Life. Counter-Strike, or even Unreal. But they brought it back. It's coming out as a free-to-play game, and right now it's in beta. All you have to do is pretty much like their Facebook page, and they'll give you a beta key at this point. So they're getting fairly close to release, from what I understand. It is incredibly addicting. It is incredibly fast-paced. There is a little bit of a learning curve if you've never, you know, handled like jetpacks and moving in three dimensions in a first-person shooter before, but it is really fun. It's kind of almost League of Legends kind of style because they're going free-to-play. You'll have different class options for different equipment loadouts. They come in kind of three different flavors, light, medium, and heavy. Lights are really quick, fairly fast, but they don't have heavy weapons. Medium is kind of the all-around guy. Heavy is your big, huge, hulking bruisers with things like fusion mortars and extra heavy spin fusers.
But they move about as fast as a snail.
Yeah, like a slow-moving tank. How's that? There's still vehicles. There's not too many maps right now, but I think they're going to be continually adding on that as they go. I've been having so much fun playing it. I would literally log on, probably do like 8 or 10 maps and not even realize it was time to sleep. And I haven't done that with a first-person shooter in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Do they still allow like custom loadouts?
Not really. Your loadouts are kind of limited based on kind of a class. It is okay. A free-to-play model, so you basically have to buy into your class either by, you know, dropping some money or by earning a whole bunch of credits playing the game.
Right. Okay.
Darn,
so much for the bastard loadout.
Well, they are kind of trying to keep it balanced just for, you know, because Tribes 2, once you had somebody with incredibly ridiculous loadouts, they knew how to game the system. It really wasn't fun for a couple of folks on the map. But yeah, I've been pretty much playing around with the Technician class, which has an assault rifle. A upgraded repair gun for running around your base, upgrading turrets, and a mini turret, which gets a surprising number of kills if somebody doesn't see it.
So put it around a corner is what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. Drop it around a corner next to your generator, wander off, do whatever else, keep repairing your turrets, and then just do. You have gotten a kill. Excellent.
It was very much more of a like a team game.
It really is. I mean, basically,
because you have to have some people, because it's, you know, it's capture the flag, but you really have to have people on defense.
You really do.
To keep your base, basically keep your base running so that you have power and can, you know, load out new people and spawn them and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, if the other team knocks at your generator, all your turrets go down, your radar is down, you are at a disadvantage until somebody runs down to your generator room and repairing it, which
well,
has a
usually dislodging the heavy that's, you know,
yes.
sitting on it at
yes.
the same time.
Yeah, which is why typically, for defense, it's usually best to go with, one person medium, which is a technician, works really well, and somebody on heavy, which the, Doombringer class, which I have not looked at, but looks really interesting, works really well at because he has a heavy spin fuser. So that's really kind of almost a knockout punch kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we all remember, heavies fighting indoors was, a bit terrifying. In
yeah,
times
yeah.
too.
Basically,
mortars everywhere.
Yeah, basically, whoever else is in the room needs to get out of the room for a minute, just so they can finish.
Because the mortars, they bounce around a little bit before they explode, and so you kind of shoot it off and goes doop, and then it lands inevitably in your teammate's lap, and
yeah,
and then he's gone.
Yeah, thankfully, they have chosen to not have.
Friendly fire,
yes.
Aww.
Which does ruin some of the fun, but it makes it a little easier to fling discs around.
That's good to hear. So if you're a fan of the old tribes, you'll be a fan of this, is what I'm kind of
I really think you are. I haven't heard too much complaining about some of the other people I've been playing with. But it really... It's a lot of fun. It is very fast-paced. I think if you liked Tribes 2, you should like this, or you're really weird.
Okay. Well, I won't say anything about our audience not being weird, because I know I'm strange. But we'll just assume that they'll like it if they liked Tribes. So, most of my holiday was spent playing The Old Republic. It's a nice... They do have some stuff they have to fix, but it's been out officially for, like, 3 weeks now.
Yeah, the 20th, yeah.
And it took World of Warcraft 2 years before they made a lot of the fixes they should have had that we now think they should have had implemented in the first place. So I'm going to basically, it's a starting MMO, the audience will speak up, they'll create an add-on, the add-on will become popular, then the company will institute the add-on as a standard part of the game. It's what happens anyways. I'm not even through my first story yet. I'm like level 25. I'm still working on the main story of my main introduction story.
My brother's like over 40, I want to say now. He's not at the cap yet, though.
Yeah, I think the cap is 50.
His friend has already hit the cap, at least on one character, and has started at least another one
yeah.
or two. But my brother gets alt-itis. He's like, he has like almost all, he has all the slots filled except for one on the max amount of characters he can have.
Wow.
I have a couple of folks I work with who are almost at cap as well. They keep telling me I should get into it. Just like, I don't want another MMO.
You should.
No. I know. My brother's the same way. He's like, you gotta play this. And I'm like, I just don't have the time right now to dedicate to an MMO. I've been doing a lot of other stuff, and I've been enjoying the other stuff more. Like
Skyrim's almost an MMO. I can play that.
The game, I'm really enjoying it. I mean...
Massive single player.
Yes.
The fact that all the quest text is basically given to you through a cinema clip makes you feel more included in what you're doing, and you actually get to be like a smartass or whatever you want to be to the quest givers. Like my bounty hunter, I'm playing my bounty hunter kind of neutral, but for the most part I usually tend to play him a little more light side. Whereas I have a Sith Inquisitor on Irish Pride server, and she's a bitch. I usually choose the dark side options for her. Which works well because my companion, it's like, each of your companions have likes and dislikes, and depending on which one you choose affects your affection rating of them. Well, this one, his likes are killing Force users, dislikes not killing Force user.
Oh my god!
Now, one thing I was wondering, because I've been just kind of reading the like outskirts of this, is pretty much like a like Old Republic RPG, you know, KOTOR 1 and 2, with other people playing it, from what I understand. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay. Is there IG-88 anywhere in the game?
I haven't run into him.
Meatbags.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I haven't run into him.
Yeah.
I know at the end of the second planet is when you get your ship. And then you can kind of choose which planet you go to, and you can do space dogfights, and it's kind of a... It's unfortunately not a twitch shooter space fight. It's more of a tunnel where the things fly past you, and then you aim at them and then shoot them, or you head towards the capital ship.
Like Star Fox.
Yeah, kind of like Star Fox. That's kind of how it is. I mean, it still works. At least it's not... you're in a turret, and you're just aiming wherever the turret goes. You still have some control over where your ship goes to try and avoid incoming fire. Mm-hmm. So it's not as good as I would like it, but it's better than it could be. The ships basically kind of take the place of World of Warcraft, I guess. They kind of are a medium between griffins, because they make it so you get to your ship, and then you pay credits for fuel to go from planet to go to the different planets. Mm-hmm. And then each planet has their own network of taxis. Which, amazingly, somehow these taxis are not interlinked until you find them. So even though they charge you money, they are not connected until you get to them.
It's just like, wow, it's like, these things already fly between the two points. Why do I have to discover the other end first? Because otherwise you'll go to places that you shouldn't be at yet.
Now, I understand the...
And die horrible, horrible deaths.
I understand the Hearthstone ability, which is really nice, actually. I like their Hearthstone ability. Because basically you find points throughout, again, each planet is their own points. Each time you find a point, you basically program it into your device, and then when you want to hearth, you can choose any of those points on the planet instead of the specific one you've bound yourself to.
That's convenient.
So it's really handy. It's like, okay, I need to go here for this quest, so and it says, dispatching transport is what it says. And then it fades out, and when it fades back in, your guy's always waving.
I think that's implying that you just, you know, basically booked a taxi.
I think so. But it doesn't cost you any money. So, it's convenient, it's nice. You feel like a badass, mostly. Having the companion helps either, you know, soak up damage or keep you alive. And usually, in, like, typical MMOs, a mob is a single character you fight, and then you recoup. Here, a mob is anywhere between two, depending if one's a little more elite than the others. One, if it's really an elite, but... Typically one, if it's a regular elite, or if they're all mooks, you'll usually fight anywhere between four to six. And you'll still come out with at least 3/4 health if you're paying attention to what you're doing. Bounty Hunter I really like because you have death from above, so I can open with that, and usually I'll either have them almost, if they're not dead, I only have to shoot them once with my blaster to kill them. It's a lot of fun. And I'm really enjoying it. Professions I like a lot more in this game than others. So I'm not spending my time doing it.
You send off your little minions to go
exactly.
Do it.
Exactly. I either send them to make stuff for me, or I send them on gathering missions. So I'm not wasting my time having to get all the stuff and building it. I can tell them to do this, and usually I'm telling my droid that's on the ship that I don't do anything else with to do it. And then I spend my time playing the blasted game.
I don't know. Professions in WoW always seemed like, you know, you were basically part of the economy when you were, you know, grinding out blacksmithing or something like that. I kind of liked that.
You still can be a part of the economy. But let's say you're playing the game and you have to stand up and go do something. Your character is essentially useless during that time. You're not getting anything done. So send both your companions on. Send all your companions on missions to go get you stuff.
Alright.
And then when they come back, they occasionally can fail at the mission, so it's not a guarantee you'll get it. Or they'll come back with a cool item. Or a crafting material that you need.
I like that, because I hated doing 4-hour circles of gathering nodes.
Exactly, and you're not wasting your time doing that shit. So, I'm enjoying SWTOR. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it has a lot of promise. I'm looking forward to getting to what's called my legacy. I haven't gotten that far, but apparently you can name your legacy once you get out of Act 1, I think it is.
Yeah, you basically get a surname.
Although some people, I guess one person wanted to try and figure out how to change it because they named themselves like Thundercats.
Ow.
Good job.
Nice one, dude. Pro. Yeah.
Alright, and you guys were saying that you had been watching Venture Brothers seasons 1-4.
Yes, we went on a binge.
Yeah, that's all we did after Christmas Day until practically after New Year's.
Yep.
Because
we watched seasons 1 to 3.
But 4 had just come out to Cartoon Network in the States when we were in New Zealand, so we couldn't watch it.
Without bootlegging, basically, and, you know, they charge you for your bandwidth over there, don't they?
Mm-hmm. We're limited. It's 20 gigs, which sometimes is just not enough, especially when WoW had huge patches. We had to download it onto one computer, then copy it to a flash drive to put it onto the other computer. Yeah, so watching YouTube videos down there was not very fun. So we're like, well, we'll have to wait till later. Well, we finally got back home, waited till later, never got it, and I was like, I'll just ask for them for Christmas. And I got all 4 seasons for my parents.
Hey.
I don't know, I enjoy Venture Brothers. I don't know exactly why I particularly enjoy it.
I can't figure it out either. Mostly because she doesn't know who Johnny Quest is.
I know who Johnny Quest is. I do know. I never specifically watched the cartoons, but I knew who Johnny Quest was and what he did. So things do make sense to me. I'm not that stupid.
I don't think he said you were stupid. He just said he didn't know who Johnny Quest was.
I did.
Well, it's not just... There's, like, so many references in Venture Brothers. It's not just Johnny Quest. Yeah. I mean...
Johnny Quest is kind of like the main sort of theme, I guess, sort of.
Yeah, but there's also, you know...
Comic book heroes and...
Hardy Boys. And Nancy Drew.
And, you know, even to a certain extent, you know... Like, almost there's some James Bond stuff in there, too.
Yeah.
But I unfortunately haven't been able to re-catch up since, like, season 2.5.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little far behind. No spoilers, please.
Brock Sampson kills somebody.
Brock Sampson kills all the people.
Yeah. Brock Sampson can and will kill any man that lives. But... eventually I will get caught up, but I just haven't been able to recently. There's just so much in there that it's just like, and a lot of their, like, little references or stuff like that, they're subtle. And you'll be watching an episode for like a third or fourth time, and it's just like, I didn't see that before. So, yeah. Go Team Venture.
Yeah. I sent the first season over to my brother to have him watch. Because he tried to get, Archer. Tried to get us to watch Archer. And I watched the pilot, and I hated it.
Archer takes some getting into.
As he keeps telling me. He's like, oh, the next one. I'm like, no, if that first one is a taste, I don't want to know what the rest of it's like.
Yeah, it's over the top.
Archer seems like an idiot.
He is, and that's the point. Pretty much everybody on the show is pretty much dumb. That's kind of the point. The fact that they can run a spy agency, you know, using folks that are...
mentally unstable and psychotic?
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, I think Lana's the smartest one of the bunch, but that's, you know... I still think she's kind of dumb for just sticking around.
Maybe she's the only reason that they actually have a spy agency.
Probably. Well, they seem pretty effective at the spy stuff, but that's about it. Well, even then, not so much. But yeah, Archer Season 3, I believe, is starting right now. All of Season 1 is available on Netflix. It takes some getting into.
Yeah, I love the Venture Brothers, but not it.
Yeah. But, I am still gonna buy myself for my birthday all the episodes of Dexter's Lab off of Amazon, so I'll report back on that later, you know, once I've emerged from my lab.
Make sure that your sister doesn't break go in and break all your stuff.
Yeah.
Omelette du fromage.
Ah, yes.
Omelette du fromage!
Why you watch that? Also, been watching Summer Wars.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I know how to play Hanafuda now, Koi Koi, very well. There is a Flash game online. Just type in Hanafuda Flash, and it's like the first thing that comes up. And so now I learn all the sets and stuff, so I know how to play.
Nice. Properly. So you know why she was winning.
Yes.
Awesome. Because to me, I was like, I know there's rules to this game. I don't understand it whatsoever right now.
Basically, it involves very good making anime sets.
Yeah, you have to make these certain sets with different cards. I have the Nintendo Hanafuda set.
Which is actually, I think, more confusing.
It is more confusing, especially once you know what the traditional sets are. Because they use the Mario characters instead of what's traditionally there.
And so they don't, they don't make sense together the way that the original kind of artwork sets.
Yeah, because you have, the brights. And the brights is like the sun with the crane, the moon over the hills, the cherry blossoms on a flag, and the phoenix with, the violet-looking flowers. Those are the brights. So if you have any combination of three of those or all four, they're worth a lot of points. Then there's the Rain Man, which is the guy with the umbrella and the willows. If you have him, it's, rainy bright or something like that, and you get, 12 points or something for it because it's a complete set. That's hard to get.
But then the Mario ones are all, different things that don't make sense.
Yeah, and then there's, the animals. So there's, birds and butterflies and the boar and the deer. So if you saw the ones where it's, boar, deer, butterfly, that's considered a set. I don't know why particularly it is, but it is. So you can get boar, deer, butterfly, and you can get the animal set together at the same time, because that's why you call koi koi. So if you get a set, you can declare koi koi or end the session. If you declare koi koi, you're basically saying, I'm going to get another set before you do. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun once you figure out how to play it. I hate playing the computer, though, because he always gets more lucky, it seems like, than me.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap this up by talking a little about NDK NYE 2011. We went, unfortunately, I wasn't able to stay too long. So we went, I managed to stay for about 3 hours before I found out that I hadn't hit my foot on something. I was having a gout outbreak, so I couldn't actually walk.
Ooh.
It's like half an hour before we leave, it's like, my foot hurts. But I got up real quick. I must have just hit it on something because I was drinking something, choked, figured I hit my foot on something. No, after about 3 hours, I'm like, okay, this is starting to hurt worse and I can't walk around this blasted place. I need to leave. But I got some good pictures out of it. I wouldn't really call it a ball so much. It reminded me more of a high school dance with how, there was no ball music. Everybody was dressed up nicely, but it was all fast music. So everybody was just kind of dancing on the floor and, it was a nice environment.
That's what a ball is. It's just a formal dance party.
But yeah, there's pretty much. Slow dancing to it. There was no couples dancing the entire time I was there.
Well, I think they just assumed that their target audience was not,
touchy feely.
I don't know. There was a lot of gambit.
Yeah,
That's true. There was the picture I have on there of Mario and Peach dressed up as a couple.
Yeah, I saw that one. That was kind of adorable.
I was actually the funny thing was right before I saw it, I was like, I wonder how somebody would do a formal Mario
tuxedo with the Mario hat,
basically
mustache,
and yeah,
it worked well.
Mustache.
Well, basically, you just gotta go to the Mario comic that ran in Nintendo Power, and it shows Mario in a tuxedo.
Yeah.
Marrying Princess Peach.
It's adorable.
It worked out well, though. Overall, the time I was there, I actually did enjoy it. They had a fortune tree where you could actually write a fortune and then tie it to a tree.
Hmm. Oh, cool.
They had a charity going on, and then they had a poker tournament going on. It wasn't, of course, real money they were playing for, but there was a poker tournament. And then they also had a photo area actually set up with a backdrop and proper lighting and everything for people.
Oh, well, that's kind of nice.
They should do that almost at the con. Just have one area designated that people can go through.
That area right behind where everybody picks up their tickets, that area should be set up as a photo shoot area.
Well, I think if they did that, there would be some folks basically hanging out, basically ambushing people. Hey, take a picture with me. And
that happens within the hallway anyways.
Yeah, but now there's a designated area for it, and that's a little weird.
But if there's a designated area for it, you don't have the problem of somebody stopping somebody in the middle of a hallway to take their picture and end up blocking it, 30 people that are trying to walk through.
Yeah, because it's gotten so crowded.
They have a cap this year because there's too many. There's
too many people for that hotel.
Wouldn't have gotten into half of the panels that we did without our press badges this last year.
Now, are they moving to a bigger venue, do you think, next year?
No, they have a contract.
5 years more contract or something?
I think they have 3 more years out of the 5 years that they signed up again.
But the problem is there's not anything that's much bigger than this without going to enormous.
I can kind of see that because you kind of have two different options for conventions. You have basically a hotel
convention area, and then you have the convention center. Yeah.
Now, you can take portions of, I'm going to say the smaller convention centers.
However, the question is they, if they can book the entire thing for something, you're kind of bumped.
Yeah.
And
the problem is also hotels. They like being in the tech center because it keeps them out of downtown. It makes it a bit more family friendly.
I can kind
of
see that.
I mean, it's a balance of a lot of issues.
And it's kind of nice being able to stay in the same building that the convention is in.
Because they have a very good relationship with that hotel.
Yeah.
Those guys put on a special menu in their restaurant during the con.
They set up a little buffet thing so people
quicker food.
They set up water all over the freaking place so people don't dehydrate themselves.
Yeah.
People still do every year, but it happens less.
Yeah, there's a lot more options that are a lot friendlier. It's just layout flow needs to be better, but it can't help it. It's the way that the hotel's designed, and it's better than the way the Holiday Inn was.
It's almost to the point, though, I think, that they might need to start moving the voice actor panels into the main room because there are so many people that are willing to go to those.
If you don't line up two hours before, you don't get in as a regular person.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that was just, like, a perfect storm this year of which voice actors that they had, that they were just really popular, that there's just, like, someone at almost every panel that people wanted to see, or what. I mean, some of those guys are, like, in a lot of stuff. And a lot of things are really popular now, like Todd Haberkorn,
Mike Citrinoklaus,
Patrick Seitz are like in a lot of stuff. Now I can't remember any of the female voice actresses' names.
Because one of them is the gal who does Motoko from Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex. And now I can't remember her name either, and I feel terrible. And then the other guy was like starting way back in the day, and also has worked on Power Rangers.
So yeah, they have a lot of popular people. Anyhow, going back to what I was initially talking about, the New Year's Eve thing was actually a lot of fun. I just wish I could have stayed longer. And I think we're going to go ahead and call it there on the podcast. It's good to be back after a two-week hiatus. It was a nice little break.
Yep.
It's actually really fun to do this. I may actually start showing up more often.
Well, if you're going to be riding with me to this every day, you're going to be doing this more often.
Eventually, I will have to get my truck fixed.
Eventually, yes, but you're a procrastinator.
This is true.
And there's a whole money issue, too, so I don't know how...
Well, I'm basically just going to end up getting a junker parts and other stuff and just shoving it into it. So, you know.
Anywho, so everybody have a great week, and game on.
Game on.
Game on.
Game on.